Hi, I'm Irma Minerva at the University Libraries at UNCG, and this is your podcast of the week.
Today we have a special Halloween podcast about the campus ghosts that haunt UNCG, including Acock Auditorium, Mary Faust Residence Hall, and Spencer Residence Hall. Joining us is Assistant University Archivist Herman Trojanowski, who specializes in the haunted history of UNCG.
Okay. The ghosts of the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. Tales have long circulated about the ghosts that allegedly haunt the campus. In the late 1960s, the Spencer Residence Hall ghost was simply known as the Blue Ghost or the Woman in Blue. But in the early 1980s, students gave her the name Annabelle, possibly alluding to the subject of Edgar Allan Poe's classic poem, Annabel Lee. Legend has it that Annabelle is the spirit of a student who hanged herself many years ago in one of the Spencer's bell towers. However, no such suicide has ever been documented. A member of the Residence Hall staff reported that Annabelle had appeared to him as a blue shadow on two separate occasions in Spencer's main parlor. This happened when the building was closed in the summer of 1976. The same staff member heard the ghost dragging something on the floor out in the lobby. There have been other reports of a blue haze passing by a second-floor laundry room and of objects being flung around several rooms. In South Spencer, in the early 1980s, an apparition reportedly awakened two different staff members on two separate occasions by walking into their rooms. The building had been closed for vacations both times. It's not known whether this was Annabelle or another ghost or a series of ghosts. The second ghost on campus reportedly haunts Mary Faust Residence Hall, which was built in 1928. Mary Faust Residence Hall was named for Mary Faust Armstrong, daughter of the college's second president, Julius Isaac Faust. Mary was a member of the class of 1920. She died in childbirth in 1925, and some believe that her ghost took up residence in the dormitory that bears her name, because over the years many rumors have floated around about random unexpected crying and funny noises on the hall's second floor. Mary Faust's portrait, which hung above the fireplace many years, disappeared some time back without any kind of trace. Another rumor about Mary Faust Hall was that in the 1950s, three nursing students hanged themselves from the rafters in the attic. Investigations have shown that the structure of the beams in Mary Faust would make hanging very difficult, if not impossible, but nevertheless the rumors persist. Okay. However, the campus' most well-documented ghost reportedly inhabits Acock Auditorium, which opened in 1927. Many years ago, an interview was done with Raymond Taylor, who taught drama and play presentation and was director of drama activities on campus from 1921 until his retirement in 1960. Taylor reveals that he not only believed in the ghost of Acock Auditorium, but recounts his personal experiences with the ghost. According to Taylor, at one time a sort of colonial mansion stood on the corner where Acock now resides. There dwelt in this mansion a lady all alone. After a while, she became extremely unhappy about her lonely state, went up to the attic, and suspended herself from a rope in the rafters. Having committed suicide there, she was determined to stay on as a ghost. When they tore the building down in order to build Acock Auditorium, she continued to haunt the area until Acock was finally built. Then she adopted Acock as her new home. She seemed, when I knew her, Taylor says, to delight in the upper reaches of Acock Foyer, where she assumed the guise of lights that flittered from ceiling place to ceiling place, and I could hear the dragging of chains and clanking of objects all over the floor down in the lobby, all the way up to my office on the second floor. Taylor goes on to tell the story of an incident that occurred one afternoon when he and the Acock janitor were working on the set for a new play. The whole building was locked up, and since it was an extremely hot afternoon, this was before air conditioning, he and the janitor undressed themselves a little bit to work more comfortably. Taylor said he left his clothes neatly in a pile near his office. During the afternoon, a storm came up that raged for quite a while, and then after the storm was over, Taylor said he went back upstairs and found that his clothes had been disarranged. He had been wearing a vest with a watch chain across it that day, and that he found his watch chain had been rearranged on the table in the form of a cross. His other clothes were helter-skelter all over the place. Many nights while working in the auditorium, Taylor said he would hear all kinds of strange noises. He tried to explain some of them by saying, oh, they're just the echoes of passing cars or passing trains shaking the building. But one night, he and a colleague named Jimmy Hoag were sitting in Taylor's office around midnight. Hoag was sitting with his back to the door. All of a sudden, the door opened, cold air rushed in, and they heard the receding clank of chains down the hall. They rushed up, ran out into the hallway, turned on the lights, but could never find any explanation of what just happened. Students over the years have given the Acock spirit a name. They call her Jane Acock and say she's the daughter of the man for whom the auditorium was named. But Governor Acock, who did have two wives and nine children, did not have a daughter by the name of Jane. Supposedly, Jane killed herself in the auditorium and a noose around her neck, her body dangling from a fly loft above the Acock stage. But the only deaths the auditorium have ever witnessed have been those acted out on the stage, not over it. According to an article written in the Winston-Salem Journal in 1977, this was written when Acock was reopening after its 50th birthday and major renovations in 1977. Drama majors were so attached to the ghost that it became something of a tradition to introduce her to new students. An unsuspecting freshman would be handed a lighted candle, shown the stairway leading up to the attic, reportedly a ghost's favorite haunting area. Then the drama majors would solemnly watch as the flickering flame floated away in the gloom. They knew there was a certain spot in the attic where a draft would always blow out the candle. It would take a few moments for the novice spook chaser's eyes to adjust to the darkness. Then the poor victim would see a shape, a human shape, shimmering in the inky blackness. The drama majors always got a kick out of hearing the screams that always followed. It's surprising what a coat of luminescent paint can do for a mannequin borrowed from the theater's prop shop. As recently as October 25, 2000, the Campus Weekly newsletter reported that Acock Auditorium's ghost was still scaring students. Jan Houlihan, the assistant director for event production at Acock, said that she had heard enough ghost stories and had enough experiences to convince her that Jane was real. In 1998, just before a local dance recital, Jane and a student were setting up lights on the stage. They looked up at the huge gallery to check the lights, and they saw a figure moving around. It was like a gossamer, Houlihan said. It had this human feel about it. We both saw it. We looked at each other and said, Jane Acock. They saw her twice more that afternoon and tried to convince themselves that there was a logical explanation. Houlihan thought maybe a piece of black cloth had fallen, that they were seeing a shadow of some trees, but a few days later she went up to see if she could find which piece of cloth had fallen. Everything was in place. Julian Cheek, UNCG's theater costume studio manager, said Jane Acock is a periodic topic of conversation in the costume design workshop located in the basement of Acock Auditorium beneath the stage. Some students have been shaken up by noises they have heard, such as footsteps walking across the stage when no one was upstairs. According to Cheek, some students refuse to work in the costume shops at night because the building has so many sounds. Your imagination can really run away with you.
If you would like to learn more, join Herman's annual Halloween campus tour on October 31st, starting at the library portico entrance at 10 a.m. We hope to see you there.